Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. Yes, sir, we do need one in Stouffville soon, as Scott says on that little recording. And I am Scott, by the way, your host for Sharing the Burden. We're live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. or shortly after, just after the news at the top of the hour. And I'm never alone. We were quipping about somebody else who has a talk show and always refers to Mr. Producer. And in our case here, that's Jason Rumbaugh. He's been around for quite a while, longer than I have anyway, and I don't mean in years on this earth, I mean in this radio station. But anyway, welcome, Jason.
Yeah, good morning, Scott. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning,
great to have
Jason.
You here.
Good
yeah.
to have you. And yeah. Peter, oh, I didn't see you come
Hi,
in.
Hi, Scott.
Good morning. Oh, you're on this morning, are you?
Just want to sing a few tunes. Sorry.
Okay, well, good. And if you have some backup for that, it would be even better. And if it doesn't come, well,
do you
just
have any tracks, Jaden?
Oh, sure. I got a track ready to go. Just okay. You keep, give me the cue and I'll play it for you.
Great.
Okay, so that fits in with our our title this morning in our recovery devotional is actually Powerless and Abused. And of course, the powerlessness we're talking about is the first phase of sharing the burden. When we come to sharing the burden or a similar 12-step organization, we have to come to grips with the fact that we don't really have a handle on whatever it is that drove us to that place in the first place. So until we can express that and be honest about really feeling that we're not going to get out of this on our own, we're probably not going to get anywhere. So that's where we start. But then when we do accept, at least in our minds, this thing called powerlessness, what do we do from there? You know, we're not used to saying we don't have any power in this on this planet anyway, and some of us have found it a very freeing experience, but we'll get into that as time goes by. When either of you guys, Jason or Peter, sense that powerlessness, and I know Jay's had some recent problems with his kidney and you know, trying to get a new kidney and so on, but during it all and all the different treatments he's been involved with in the last number of years, and especially the last little while, that sense of powerlessness must be very evident. And you expressed it, I think, last week, Jay, but talking about, you know, you're in the hands of these doctors, and you, especially after all these years dealing with doctors, know that they're not flawless. They make mistakes, and of course, in this case, it's often a mistake that could cost a life, and that could be yours.
So
that sense of powerlessness must come home to roost, doesn't it, in that kind of situation? I mean,
oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, sure. Like, yeah, you're going to come across doctors that are really on the ball about things, and then there's others that, yeah, are going to overlook some key things that, oh, you know, why didn't they, you know, think of that, and then you end up, you know, getting you know, more sicker than you are. But I think the important thing is for the patient to, you know, give as much information as you can to your doctor so they can kind of figure it out, because, you know, they're kind of guessing a lot of ways, and, you know, they can't really, you know, feel what you're feeling. Like, if you're in pain, then they can't really feel that. So you have to kind of tell them, you know, where's the pain and how long have you had it? And so I think, yeah, the more information you give them, I think the better off it is. But you hope that your doctor's going to follow through with that, and you know, whether they, you know, go by the book or their previous experience or whatever, that they're gonna do whatever they can to help you.
Yeah, great. Thanks. You know, it's funny because we don't think of them that way, and they really often project themselves in such a way they don't want us to think about them that way, but we kind of put them on a pedestal, don't we, and we just expect that they're gonna do the right thing. And I mean, they might have a bad day, they might have a headache, they might be hungover. Some of them do that, by the way, but anyway, none that we use in this area of the country. But anyway, Peter,
hi.
We have a recent sense of powerlessness in your life that it just kind of hit me was Pauline, your wife, going through, you know, some rough times with pain and so on. And what brought it up in my mind was, and I was going to mention to Jay a minute ago, that using the internet today is such a powerful tool for the person with the problem, because we can look at different things and look at it from a whole bunch of different perspectives, different points of view, as the doctor probably doesn't have time to do, for one thing. And we can often find things that we kind of get a sense that this is where the problem area is, and I need to draw it to your attention. Now, if you're someone like Pauline, that's not a problem. You know, she'll darn well tell the guy, you know, and or the gal, that the doctor or not, like, you need to look at this and that. But others of us, like me, you probably sit there and, And Peter might just say, well, yeah, I don't know. Sounds good. If not, get that doctor out of here and find me a good one. You know, one of those kinds of things. But don't you find, though, and I think Pauline did it to some extent with the problem she was having there, that turns out it's probably a kidney stone, and why that wasn't diagnosed, none of us can figure it out. It seemed like such an obvious, that where the pain was and all these different things, and yet it wasn't diagnosed, you know, and I don't know what happened. I think when she mentioned it to whomever said, oh, yeah.
Well, it was whack, because she had an ultrasound, and they didn't find it in that. It wasn't until she had a CT scan they found.
Yeah, I think that's probably a size and a better definition with the with the CT. But and actually, my brother's going through the same thing and onto the CT scans now to see if there's a surgical procedure they can do in and around his kidney. So folks out there, if you're praying, folks, you can see a lot of us can use your prayers. And if it's not us, it's people we love. So keep that in mind when things are happening. Again, today's theme, if you will, or in part anyway, powerless and abused. Now, we may not be the abused person, we may be the abuser, or I'm not sure how that word goes, but meaning that probably in a sense of fear, like a reading we've got here this morning, maybe we'd do something that we wouldn't never recommend or do in a million years if it weren't just for fear and reactive movement or decision making, and then have to pay the price later. In the particular story we're talking about, the person pushes someone else in the path of destruction for himself, which ends up in the death of either a wife or a friend's wife. And at the same time, this person even wanted to push his daughter out there, anything but let a man get harmed. It seemed a lot of things were wrong in that reading. But Peter, when you know, we all have these helpless moments, can't seem to come up with any kind of answer. And I think, well, the way I see it anyway, if Pauline has a problem, you have a bigger problem.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is the worst thing I've ever been through in my life, really.
Yeah.
And you know, like, I know we keep talking about God's in charge, but but you don't get it. We're just praying, and hopefully it's a good result, but... Oh.
Changes the way you pray, too, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's... Yeah.
I find it difficult now, and folks, what we're talking about is, you know, we're not going to get into religion, but we who believe in an almightiness, an almighty power, whatever that means to you guys... if it's almighty, knows everything, has everything, sees the beginning, sees the end, sees the incrementals and each and everything imaginable, then that God obviously knows what each of us is doing, did do, and will do, down to the second. And he can see it from outside of time, so these seconds and minutes and clocks don't mean anything to him or her. So anyway, bearing that in mind, when we go to pray now, and we know we need to because, you know, in our faith anyway, we're told to. It's relation building, if nothing else, relationship building with that sense of your almightiness whom you believe in. So we take those chances. But when you know in your heart that this entity knows and has seen everything, you know, from millions of years ago, if such a time existed, thousands we'll say, or thousands ahead, if this entity can see all those things, then this entity or something else known to that entity, and you know, nothing else is more powerful, so that entity must have scripted the whole thing. And if such, then we're praying. We know the outcome is already well in hand, but we don't know what it is. So I think, and this is what it is with me now, it's like the prayer is about not about the result, but that my hope that the result is in His will and it'll be what I want. You know, it's a strange difference, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ooh, you know, I don't know. Nothing. Here's another thing along those same lines. You know, that in view, well, then nothing then is really our fault, is it? You know, I mean, I keep saying to people, well, I didn't write the book, so, you know, don't right. blame me. If you got a problem with past, present, future, you know, if you have a spiritual being that you can talk to or relate to, or you know, if it's a living spiritual being, or then you need to do the complaining and all, you know, and whatever you don't like about it, you need to talk to that entity, and, you know, not me. I can't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's not our fault, and we, it's hard not to question God, but, yeah. And it's even harder to accept the fact that God is in charge of everything, and this is happening for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah it's very rough.
And when the reason is just because that's the way it was
yeah.
written, it's kind of, yeah. it's even worse in some ways. Why would you write that? I mean, you know, we don't have to say why anymore, but we know that all the pieces that don't seem to fit at some point will fit, and then everything and all of us will be okay. You know, it's simple and it's summed up, but that's the way I see it. I don't know.
Well, I like that you said, like, we haven't necessarily done anything wrong for bad things to happen to us.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
It's good to look at that because, you know, that was the old story, you do this and this will happen to you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when, and like, you know, what a great person Pauline is, and it's yeah. just terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, see what I mean? Like, your pain's worse than hers. I notice that all the time. God forbid. Pauline, I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. So nothing's really our fault, as it's all part of a perfect plan. Who's in charge? Peter answered that. His sense of God, or your sense of God, or your sense of whatever it is out there that kind of rules. In this story that we're talking about here in Judges, and the story is about a man who, in fear, I believe, pushed his daughter and, well, he tried to push his daughter, but ended up pushing somebody's concubine, and it's explained in another area, somebody's wife, but either his wife or the wife of the person he had staying with him that night. But he would do anything, number one, to save the life of this man. And number two, what he thought about womanhood, I guess I would say, was like that they weren't worth very much, you know, that the woman was, you know, inconsequential. And yet the story goes that he actually, this woman was abused so badly, raped by so many people, I guess, that she eventually died. She crawled her way back to the threshold of the home they were living in, and there she died in the morning, and this fellow cut her body up into 12 pieces and sent one to each of the tribes of Israel. And that part I don't understand, folks, so I can't comment much on that. You get that, Peter?
No, I don't. And you know what, I don't get why the guy, well, maybe I don't know why the guy would send anybody out. Why wouldn't he just say, hey, kill me and be on your way.
Yeah. Well, he even went out. He went outside at first. I'm thinking, well, there's no way I'd go out there. Yeah. You know, if I'm frightened, I'm not going to push anyone else, I hope. But I'm not going to go out there and try and talk to these guys. You know, they said they wanted to rape and have sex with a man. He goes out there. Well, we can't have that man. Well, you know, what about this man?
Like I don't get it.
I don't either. But anyway, we don't have to, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, we didn't write it. Don't even have to understand it.
That's true.
But it's so great when you think that we didn't do anything wrong like this.
Yeah.
The guy didn't do anything wrong to cause this. It's just the way it goes. God's in charge, right?
Yeah.
And try telling him that the next day. But
well, this is, and you'll understand this experience, it's especially powerful in our work with the incarcerated, with the people in jail. because we're saying to them exactly the way we're saying to you out there, that we believe pretty much in not only, you know, predestination, but to the nth degree, so that there's no question about outcomes or any of that sort of thing. They are what they are, and they're there as part of an overall perfect plan, which none of us are ever going to understand, at least this side of the veil. We're kind of hoping for a sense of a heavenly experience afterward, where we might be told or shown somehow how this stuff all gets put together. But I, for one, have to just accept that the whole thing is done in a perfect way somehow. I like to envision an earth or a sphere with all kinds of things sticking out different ways, and points and squares and all sorts of offsetting things that just don't look like they should even be there. And then as that sphere spins over a time, these pieces all somehow find their way into the perfect setting, and eventually that perfect sphere or the earth is ready for whatever, but it becomes perfected, you know. So and we're part of that, so we've got to be, well, I have to be okay with that, and I am.
Well, it's like, it's a big responsibility. Like Facebook tells me that a year ago today I got out of the hospital, and I was in the hospital, and apparently I wasn't doing too well, and I had a moment of clarity, and I just said a little prayer to God, and so he saved me. And so apparently I'm supposed to accomplish something now, you know. Mm-hmm. So the whole last year, a lot of things have changed my life, and about how I think about things, and just trying to get it through my head that God's in charge no matter what happens, which is very hard.
Yeah. Well, it's neat too, because that experience, and I took part in it to some degree, because I went to see you.
Allegedly.
When you were, it was no joke, you were really struggling, and, that was before they had tied you down, but you were in trouble. I mean, you looked like you had a gut on you, like somebody who drank 2-4 since he was born, you know. But anyway, and that was all part of whatever was going on in your body, and you pretty near croaked, it looked like. And as you say, and I remember you saying specifically that, you know what, if all those people hadn't been praying for me out there, I don't think I'd have lived, you know. And I thought, well, but I was already thinking this other way then. I'm thinking, well, yeah, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't. But, you know, I'm glad it happened that way. You know, you got a lot of friends, so, I mean, it's good everywhere. And then I thought after more, but I said, well, no, the ingredients were different. The outcome would be different. So, it was a great component, but it was, now it's looked at from a different perspective. It's not because I'm so great anymore. It's because that was the plan.
Oh, yeah, like, it's out of my hands, right?
Yeah, nothing deserving or undeserving or any of that stuff. I mean, and that stuff is freeing, man, like, especially in the jails. I mean, we go in there and, you know, and I've met a couple of these, one specific, but serial killers, and, you know, and to have to express my sense of this same thing, I'm basically saying to that kind of a person that you didn't write the script either. Now, that's not getting you off the hook. I mean, it's written such that we humanoids, or whatever we're called, will have to accept responsibility for whatever we've done, or things are unequal and don't work. They just don't go ahead. So we're responsible. We do our 25. We do our life. We do whatever we're doing. But you're not alone in this. You know, you can't be alone. For one thing, I mean, Scripture tells us very clearly, and in our faith anyway, that God's always there with you. And, you know, and if you're a serious believer and accept those truths, Scripture also says that in a sense, spiritually anyway, you're reborn. You know, it's like starting a new life and so on. And when that happens, things are different. And the most important thing is supposedly the Spirit of Almighty God indwells you, and you carry around the Spirit, which when that's in our cognizance, when we think of that and think how important it must be, then I may be a pile of you-know-what, but if I carry that around inside of me, I better take care of this pile of you-know-what to the best of my ability. And it puts another light on things, too. And I don't know, it's But anyway, to say to someone who's, say, well, you know, got rid of many people, it doesn't get them off the hook at all, and they know that. As a matter of fact, this particular one that I'm thinking of told me that it was such a blessing this 25 years before a parole hearing, and I'm thinking, my goodness, you know. Yeah, what a blessing, and I just hope that my parents are going to be able to visit me. Not for me, but they want it so bad, and if they put me in one of these places far away, I'm not going to be able to, they won't be able to do that, and that would be sad. But other than that, I'm you know, totally blessed, and as you and I know, and we won't go into names or even sexes or anything else, but that person, almost as soon as that person got to a facility, she was badly beaten almost to death and had to be moved, and you know, in view of what that person did, people on the outside who don't know anything much about what it's like on the inside and who these people really are, when you separate the behavior from the person, those people would have said, well, that's hardly payback for, you know, a bunch of people, but that she gets beat up and almost killed. It's too bad she wasn't killed, but no, it's better. She's, you know, and that's tough. You know what it's like. I mean, how do you... You know, how do you tell people who don't understand that you love such and such, and the passion in that person's eyes and the knowledge of faith and spirituality, regardless of all these horrible things, is fantastic? How do you get away with that?
I don't talk about it because people don't get it. It's such an honor to go in and just... Yeah. Show these people we care about them.
Yeah. It's a high beyond highs, folks, and you know, and we know from past experience what a high can be like with a little bit of help, you know. So, but anyway, with that,
this
high,
is legal too. So
it's legal, and it's not the last big faux pas that was made either. With that, I think, again, Scott here at Sharing the Burden.
We'll just take a quick break. Erase this tape.
Yeah, we'll eliminate the show, and we'll be right back.